Well, as always, I'd ask that you be with our brother this night. I know the difficulties of standing behind here. You forget to say things or you leave out things and stuff. But as you know, always our desire that we would send forth the words that the Lord desires us to say. And I would ask that you'd give our brother your prayers and your thoughts and your attention, and you would hear the word this night given by the Lord. I give you our brother, Elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Stephen. Can you hear me? Did I get it on? Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you. Well, it's been a long time. It's good to see each one of you here. I don't know why I feel kind of dizzy right at the moment, so I hope you bear with me. When I was thinking about the sermon, there was a lot of different things that came to my heart and my mind, things that have been on my mind for a very long time, and the Lord seems to be putting these little pieces together for me, and in the scriptures I find that there's types that are played out throughout the different generations, and tonight will be no exception. I'm going to try to draw a type to us from things that have happened in times past. The topic of my sermon, the army of God. Again, I use blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. And really, that's our commission. And there's a promise that comes with it. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to think about that. I want you to let that sink into your heart, because that truly is the promise of the Lord to each and every one who has listened to the call, Him calling to submit themselves to the water of baptism and through the laying on of the hands, that they might receive that gift. And then in your life, as you walk that walk and you exercise your faith, that you will be able to draw closer unto the Lord, and that gift will become stronger in your heart and your soul as it whispers to you in all kinds of times and things in your lives, when you need the answers, or just when you're thinking and contemplating on the Lord, or when you're presented with a particular problem that you need to face when you're out at work or school or whatever it might be, that you remember that those of you that have done this, that you have that gift that is not common to the man, only to those who have followed the things of Christ. So, the Word of God. God is marshaling His army. That's the thought. The Word of God, behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. You find that in Isaiah in the 55th chapter, verse 4. That truly is Jesus Christ. And hopefully, if He is in your life, He is that person that is the head of your spiritual life. For us in the body of Christ, we understand that the role that Christ is to play in the lives of the children of men. As we heard the commentary this afternoon, you know, from our brother Adam, you know, I thought about those things, the trials, the weaknesses of Peter, and to understand who Jesus Christ truly was, as well as the other 11 apostles. Really, the only way we're able to understand Jesus Christ will be through that gift of the Holy Ghost as it works in our lives. But he is that marshal, a person in charge of the ceremonial aspects of a gathering, a general officer of the highest military rank. So really, if you think about it, and I hope and pray that you do, that you remember that there's a promise. There's a promise to those who follow after Him. And there's going to be a gathering. And that's called the millennial reign. And there's going to be a mighty work that's going to go on during that period of time. And we can be a part of it. But he's marshaling his army here today to fulfill the promises and the prophecies that were spoken of in the day that we live. And we can be a part of it. Call to ranks. But ye are a chosen generation. I think about the beginning of the restoration. And Joseph Smith, and given the authority to bring that second testimony of Jesus Christ, to take a major role in establishing the body of Christ on earth once again. And each one of us was chosen to follow after Christ as part of that generation. A royal priesthood. Not only the priesthood that was spoken of by our brother this morning, we all can speak the words of Christ by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. A holy nation. That nation that is preparing itself to meet Christ, to be there in body or in spirit when he comes. And a peculiar people, separated from the world, chosen of the Lord. That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to identify with each one of those statements. And if you don't feel that it fits, then you need to prepare. And do more praying and more seeking and reading the scriptures to help you to understand the role that each one of you have in these last days in the body of Christ. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. We know, we trust the word of God that he promises to come. And what is he going to do? What is the call to ranks? Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You know, there's been long-winded discussions a lot of times dealing with that last concerning that last statement, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I think about when I decided to turn my life over to Christ long ago, when I found that I have had my fill of the world. I wanted to be a part of him. What do you think my first thoughts were? I needed to gather myself together with those who made a covenant. So that meant I had to sacrifice my own will, my own desires, my own thoughts, if I wanted to be with my God, and if I wanted to be part of him. And to honor my covenant. There's a reason for that. And I hope and pray that you can understand it. That's the promise. You can find it in Psalms in the 50th chapter. I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few. Don't ever think that just because there's a few of us, and really in the scope of things, a very few, that we're not significant in the eyes of Christ. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, which were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. I see, again, types of these things with the bride of Christ and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small. As the world counts large and small, we are very small. But I believe that there's a purpose behind that, and I'm going to try to explain that to you so it might make sense to you. To some people, us being small, that really, how can anybody or any church be as small as we are and have any effect in the whole world or an effect upon the world? In a small way, in a short period of time, what, how many years? 17 years? We've seen that it's had a large effect outside of this United States that we know. Before the Lord comes, I don't know how far that will go. And their dominions upon the face of the earth are small. The dominions is their control, their organization, the thing that they have control over is going to be small. All this is in reference to the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the work in which it's being called to do in these last days. I'm going to talk about a type now. It's Gideon's army, a type. There's so many things in this story that I see a type for the day we live in. I marvel at it. And I'm going to draw it as a type. I've done so at the reunion up in Ontario. I'm going to bring it to you tonight. If you remember the story that the Lord looked upon Gideon and said, go, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. That's what he told Gideon. And Gideon said, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. This was an angel of the Lord appeared to him and called him for a particular purpose. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. That's the promise God has given us. Even though we're so small and so insignificant, he has called us. And surely he will be with us. That's just one basic type that Gideon in our lives, in the Church of Christ in the last days. I thought it interesting that he is of Manasseh, not necessarily of Judah, who was the protector of Israel. Another type for our day. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt or boast themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. The Midianites, they were, Israel had sinned, and the Midianites had overwhelmed them and had ruled over them for 7 years before this time. And Israel had been praying to the Lord that they might be relieved of this burden. And the Lord was going to use Gideon to help them do this very thing. At the time, there was a large army that was arrayed against Israel. The Midianites were like 135,000. men arrayed to come and destroy Israel, as it was known at that time. The people of Gideon at the time was 32,000. The Lord says there's too many. So he told Gideon, you know, tell the people, tell that army that's gathered there, if you don't feel like fighting this fight, go home. And there was 22,000 that went home, which left 10,000. Then out of those 10,000, the Lord identified to Gideon that there was 300 left to face a large army that was bent on destroying them. Again, this is a type that I see. The whole world is arrayed against us in many ways. The Christian world is arrayed against us because we believe in the witness, the Book of Mormon. And those who don't believe in God, they're arrayed against us because they think we're a bunch of fools. And we stand alone with the message that God has given us. Those two testimonies, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, testimonies of Jesus Christ. We find in this story that Gideon broke them up in three groups of 100s. Again, another type I find in the Book of Mormon, at least in the days that I believe it's talking about us, in the Book of Jacob, concerning the plantings and our role in the last days. There's actually three plantings that we would be endeavoring to work, to do that work before Christ comes. And we find three companies. They were to blow their trumpets and break the pictures that they held, and inside the picture was a lamp. I think about that because as you read that story, that it says, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. We, as the bride of Christ, we hold that light. That lamp is the light of Christ. And the sword is the word of God. And so I see a parallel there in this story concerning Gideon and how he was going to save Israel and destroy their enemies. And when those three companies that were surrounded that camp of 135,000, they were there when that one watch, the old watch that had been on watch, went to bed and the new watch was there. That was when they decided to make their move. And when they threw those pots down on the ground and blew their trumpets and yelled, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, it said, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And what they ended up doing was they ended up destroying themselves. It's kind of interesting because we read the same thing in 1 Nephi in the third chapter. There we find in the day that we live that the Lord sets those, our enemies, against each other. But that's after we're armed with righteousness. I think it's interesting. I think it's a type how God works the same yesterday, today, and forever. I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory. That's the promise. It's interesting, the covenant people are included here. Why? Because that's the remnant we are to reclaim. We identified as the Church of the Lamb. That's our work. Reclaiming the remnant of Israel. What does God look for? The sacrifice of God or a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That's in the book of Psalms, and you read it in Isaiah. It's throughout all the scripture. I wanted to read one in the Bible, and then the one in the Book of Mormon, the words of Christ. Ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's very important. It's very important for you to understand that. A broken spirit is one who is willing to listen. Allow the Spirit to work with your heart. A prideful spirit, a prideful heart, it can't enter in. And a contrite is one with a desire, a true desire, to hear and to apply that. Apply those things our Father wants to teach each one of us. And if we have this throughout our life, that means that's going to be working with us throughout our life. In our weaknesses. And to help us throughout our spiritual life. That's the sacrifice. What's spoken about in Romans. That this body becomes a sacrifice. Our life becomes a sacrifice for Christ. Our mission, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's Christ speaking this. This was after he had died and he was resurrected. And he was standing before his disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what Christ has commissioned the church to do, to be that light to the world. I like the words in the Book of Mormon as well. I didn't put them on there. If you're interested, you can go into the fourth chapter of Mormon and read them, because there's a little bit more in there that would help you with that understanding of the words of Christ. But I think you all understand what Christ was trying to say here. If we're going to teach somebody to observe those things, we have to observe them ourselves. We have to walk it. That's how we can be that light, that we may not fall into condemnation. God's promises of protection. In righteousness shalt thou be established. That means we have to apply those things of the Lord in our lives. They have to be part of us. Just like what we heard about the different trials that Peter went through because of his humanness. We find ourselves going through that same process. But the Lord is merciful, as he was with Peter, especially when you're willing. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. That's the one thing that you need to remember. That's the one thing that there's a condemnation in the book of Revelation of those who are cast in outer darkness, those that fear, forgetting the promises that come through Jesus Christ. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Not for Christ's sake, but for thy sake, to preserve you. That's what he's wanting to do. He's your children. You are his children. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. These are the things we need to remember as we go, as we live in this life. because there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come against us. Are there people that are going to die? Are there going to be those in the bride of Christ that are going to die? Yes, they are. But the bride of Christ will be there when he returns. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Do you believe that? I want you to remember these things. These are the promises of those who follow after the Son of God, who claims that grace that comes through his blood. The parting words of Apostle Paul, you know, I looked at, it's a lot, you know, it looks like a lot, but I liked what he was saying because it's very appropriate for the day that we live in. One, he says something that you find in the Book of Mormon. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That seems to be a never-ending battle for the children of men. For myself, I look in the mirror. I'm not exempt from those things. But as Paul says, all things without murmurings and disputings. It's the same thing that Christ had told his disciples in the Book of Mormon. Contention is not of me. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light. We're to shine before the children of men. I know it's difficult because I struggle with that from time. In this life that we live, there's all kinds of anxieties and things that come about that causes our natural reaction. And it's up to us to allow the, you know, that beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost to work in us, to stop us in our tracks and not to say it, not to think it, but to walk in the shoes of Christ, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. There's also the words of the sons of Mosiah, and this I want to leave for you. It's going to be a short sermon. This is something that really struck a chord with me when I had opportunity to hear our brothers speak, Brother Michael and Moses. I hadn't seen him since 2006. And I was privileged to hear them speak. And they spake no different than any other elder in the Church of Christ concerning enduring, having faith, and the struggles of understanding when you look in the mirror. What is the person that you're looking at? And will you be able to see Christ? I felt these words of the son of Mosiah. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. I thought of those words as our two brothers were able to speak. I thought about all the efforts and the things that vision of Brian, of going to Africa, the work that the Lord had opened up there. And as I have opportunity to go to the Philippines and work with our brothers and sisters there, I am thankful. I am thankful that the Lord is the same and his Spirit is the same and he works with the individuals in the same way. and he calls them out of the world. He sees their weaknesses, and he asks them the same question, do you love me? Feed my lamb. The very same question. We serve a living God. The great work of God, thy God reigneth. To the Jew, the Zion, the concept of Zion is to possess the lands that Abraham was given. It was given through Abraham, and that Moses took them there and divided up the land. To those that even understand that they're a Jew, that's what they look for. But you know, as I think about it as a Gentile and an adopted heir to the kingdom, the more and more that I think, as I consider the word of God, the more and more I think upon it, the more and more I think of Zion, is that beautiful day that we will be in his kingdom here on this earth. To reign with him 1,000 years and then have another life afterwards. That's what I think. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's what they're going to say when they see the bride with the bridegroom. And they're going to exclaim this, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. May God bless us in this work as the army of Christ in these last days.